all have parts of ourselves that we're disconnected from, or that are dormant or buried or further away. And so what ketamine does is opens these new therapeutic windows that gives us access to parts of ourselves that we don't normally access.
Our guest today is a therapist, supervisor, and trainer in ketamine-assisted psychotherapy with couples, using ketamine as a tool to help couples feel unstuck and deepen their work in couples therapy. She is a therapist in private practice, treating couples, individuals, and families, co-director of the Washington Baltimore Center for Emotionally Focused Couples Therapy, and co-founder of the EFT Cafe that offers online classes for couples therapists. She is also the co-author of An Emotionally Focused Workbook for Relationship Loss, Healing Heartbreak Session by Session. We are so excited to pick her brain about how she works with ketamine in couples. Welcome, Catherine Rehm.
Thank you so much for joining us, Catherine. We're really excited to have you on to talk about your work using ketamine with couples. To start us off, could you tell us a little bit about how you got exposure to ketamine initially? Like what prompted your interest in using ketamine therapeutically?
Yeah. Initially, ketamine had always scared me. I think that's a leftover from the war on drugs, being a child of the 1980s, and Reagan was president, war on drugs was a big thing. I happened to know somebody who had experimented with ketamine from a veterinary clinic, and what I heard just really scared me. And so I was very skeptical and very hesitant. I'm a reluctant ketamine enthusiast. I'm totally impressed with how it's helped me and other people I care about, family members and clients, how it's helped me grow and predispose me to some really cool transformation. But I have a lot of reverence for it. It still scares me a little bit. It's an incredibly safe medicine. It's on the World Health Organization, WHO's list of top six medicines every medical clinic around the world should have. It has an incredibly safe profile. It's used in children as young as 3 months and older people as old as 93, 95. So my fear of it was from the street use of it as a party drug, as Special K, the K-hole. People use it recreationally and it's scary. It can be very scary. It's as a medicine, it's a dissociative anesthetic. So it's used in operating rooms and ERs for anesthetic purposes at higher doses. And so it really does have the capacity to truly disassociate ourselves from our bodies, from our psyches, from all that makes us each who we are. Hearing about that years ago scared me. And so I was always afraid of ketamine, but then I listened to a presentation from a psychiatrist. Dr. Seema Desai spoke about it so beautifully and talked about the safety profile of ketamine and, of course, how it's legal in the U.S. So it's considered a dissociative anesthetic, but it also has some psychedelic features. So it's not classically a psychedelic medicine or a psychedelic drug. It's a dissociative anesthetic that has some psychedelic characteristics or can have some psychedelic features. Not everybody has psychedelic experiences while on ketamine, but the ability to facilitate lowering our defenses, giving our brains a reset, helping our nervous systems get a break from our typical ways of coping that maybe some of us are tired of. Our coping strategies work until they get obsolete and stop working. And so just kind of the human condition, the stress of being human, the stress of what life is for many of us, ketamine gives us a break and a reset from those stressors. And then as a result of the break and the reset, we get a chance to reevaluate our relationship with factors in our life, elements in our lives, elements inside ourselves, thoughts, feelings. We get a chance. There's a new therapeutic window that opens as a result of ketamine. So ketamine as an adjunct intervention to therapy is a really amazing phenomenon that I've been using with clients for the last year, a little over a year now, mostly with my couples. I'm an EFT emotionally focused couples therapist and trainer. And so I have been exclusively a couples therapist for a really long time now. Most people's use of ketamine has been an individual, often medical environment.
That's why we were so excited to talk to you, because it really does seem like you're approaching ketamine very uniquely. I'm sure it will catch on with couples soon, but I haven't really heard a lot of therapists using it with couples. Actually, Sina and I have started to use ketamine in our practice with individuals.
Oh, cool.
But are also excited. We're both couples therapists about thinking about integrating this with our couples, which is why there's a real personal agenda that we have in this interview, because we want to know more.
We three share an agenda. I love it.
Yes. But I'd love to hear about what you've seen ketamine do with your couples. What has been the effect on the couples work that you've done?
Yeah. When people told me ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic, as a clinician who's trauma-informed and does all kinds of work with trauma survivors of all types of trauma, I was like, oh, dissociative. I don't like that word. I don't want to offer my clients an intervention that encourages dissociation. So I was misunderstanding how the medical world in particular uses that word dissociative anesthetic. And so the dissociation actually, as I was saying, dissociates us a little bit from our regular coping, which can sound scary and can be scary. It can be uncomfortable because we don't feel like we normally do. And it is can be unsettling. But what it does is it dissociates us from our defenses. And especially in EFT and in other couples therapy, where good people who love each other get caught sharing, you know, reactivity with reactivity. Reactivity from one partner, of course, begets and triggers reactivity from the other partner. Or in EFT specifically, we talk about secondary emotion, that reactive, fast-moving, protective emotion that protects or covers the connection with the vulnerable emotions, where humans feel often small and misunderstood or unheard. And that can be hard to stay in contact with those emotions and certainly hard to share them. So in particular, ketamine has really helped. It's an assist, ketamine assisted psychotherapy, ketamine assisted EFT. At first I was like, oh, I'd love for my clients to get this assist. And then I'm like, I would love to get this assist. And so now I talk about it, how the medicine assists the clients and me in, you know, helping the client get closer to their vulnerabilities, their primary emotion. It facilitates communication, ketamine does. Ketamine is called the benevolent disruptor. And so we have access to parts of ourselves that we don't typically have access to, that, you know, that we're defended against, just of how we're wired, just what life has taught us, just how life has grown us. We all have parts of ourselves that we're disconnected from, or that are dormant or buried or further away. And so what ketamine does is opens these new therapeutic windows that gives us access to parts of ourselves that we don't normally access.
I wonder if there's a particular case you could talk about where you saw this happening for somebody in a big way, where you have experienced them as being very defended, perhaps difficult to work with.
How about frozen?
Yeah, frozen. Yeah. And how ketamine was transformative for them.
Yeah. In fact, this client, thankfully, a couple has consented for me to record. And so I'm looking forward to talking about this case of a cisgender, heterosexual, white couple. He would be called from an EFT perspective an avoider or withdrawer, one who copes by trying to turn off their feelings or their own connection to their feelings. And his partner is a female pursuer, a pretty strident pursuer. Pursuer being one who copes by turning up the emotional heat and trying to go closer to get sometimes regular reassurance, which can be overwhelming for the partner who copes by withdrawing and pulling away. So this withdrawer, this couple's been in lots of great therapy with some of my colleagues over the years. They've been in individual therapy, they've been in groups, they've been in couple, especially EFT therapy. And there was a column, as he described, a 6-foot tall column of shame that blocked him from the world, really, not only from his wife and his couple of children, three kids, but just kind of was always there for him. And he was always having to deal with this column of shame that was frozen. That was his word, under 6 feet of ice. This chunk of shame that was just frozen inside of him, and no amount of talk therapy. And I tried it. I don't recommend ketamine to anybody right off the bat. Like, I tried all the classic EFT interventions, and I'm pretty repetitive these days. And sometimes I still say when I'm teaching EFT that repetition of interventions, I don't think is used enough, because the brain requires repetition to take something in at the level of depth that we need for limbic revision. And so I've been practicing myself using repetition. And so with him in particular, repetition was very important. And when I first started getting trained, I have, I think, 130 hours in ketamine assisted psychotherapy training over the last little over two years now. So I was in training for a year before I started even thinking about bringing it to my clients. And when I first thought about bringing it to my clients, I felt very sheepish. I felt very shy about it. Nobody knew I was investing all this time and getting trained in it. And then there was a turning point, I remember it right about a year ago, where I was like, now it feels like malpractice to not talk about this adjunctive intervention called ketamine, because I think it could help. I'm not sure it will, but EFT was something, but it wasn't everything for this client. And so their de-escalation never really stabilized, because this column of shame would freeze him. And his wife could tell instantly, really by the look on his face and the tone of his voice, that he was frozen, therefore not there for her, therefore not present. And that would be a trigger. So this person did 4 IVs of ketamine at a local clinic that I collaborate with the prescriber, and I sit with the clients during the infusions. And then they were prescribed at home for CAP, supervised use, you know, because I'm providing ketamine-assisted psychotherapy while they use the ketamine troche at home. And he literally has said, the ketamine has melted my shame. And his wife has said, ketamine has brought my husband back to me.
Wow. Mm, wow. Powerful. So was it just with the husband that you were integrating the ketamine work with?
We tried it with her, and she's one of the few, there are 1% of people who are allergic to ketamine.
Oh.
So she had an allergic reaction and couldn't continue. And he's very willing. It's really important to me that if only one partner is getting the medicine, that they not feel like the identified patient or the one who needs more intervention. He, on a personal level, is so pleased. He most recently, a week ago today, said, I feel like a real human now.
Wow.
And I wanted to reflect this for him, but I actually didn't. But it's like he was going through the motions before.
Mm. Yeah. It's so ironic that even though it's an anesthetic, he now is more embodied, right? Mm.
It's so ironic, Simone. That's a great reflection. Yeah, because the words from our clinical training don't fit for what the impact is. The impact is I can be more in myself. I can go deeper within myself. I find parts of myself that I haven't had contact with in a long time. I, on a higher dose, you know, we make a distinction between psycholytic, the low dose, and the psychedelic, the higher doses. On the higher doses, I can have a very existentially transformative experience. Some people have near-death experiences. People have spiritual and mystical experiences. People report feeling closer to their God, whatever that means for them, and the universe. On one of my higher doses, I am journeys, I was so much a part of the galaxy. And this is going to sound a little bit weird, but bear with me. I was so far out in the galaxy. I was very clearly not human, and I was beyond human. And as I came back and I was thinking, how do I integrate this? What meaning do I make from this? And what the meaning that has stuck with me for now, a half a year, is when I felt so far out and just a small speck in this great vast galaxy. It was interesting to me how letting myself feel that small in the vastness, I mean, just inexplicable vastness, that it ended up back in my body, back in my reality, back in my life, taking pressure off this one life for me. It freed me up to be like, oh my gosh, I'm just this teeny little speck doing the best I can, but feeling a lot of pressure to get it right and to do well and to make sure this and that, blah, 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 blah. And I came back from that journey like, I get to just live. I get to just be me. I don't have to worry about what I'm not accomplishing or what I should, coulda, woulda, shoulda, da, da, da. So every journey has, you know, and we all encourage those of us who are sitting with clients doing ketamine to try it yourselves. The medical anesthesia doesn't do that because you're, of course, as an anesthesiologist, you're not allowed to touch the supply. And so I understand why the medical model has that rule. But those of us working in mental health, if you can try it, I highly recommend it because you'll be a much better sitter or guide or therapist for your clients and or family members who may be on ketamine. It's really amazing also to experiment with administration routes and dosing, low and high dosing, and see what each brings you, because then you can help collaborate with your prescribers. I'm not a prescriber, and so I collaborate with prescribers and my clients who are in conversation with the prescriber about, you know, dosing and their therapeutic need and their intention for each dose. And
so how do you determine what patient is appropriate? I know it's in consultation with a psychiatrist as well, but a patient who mm-hmm. would benefit from a higher dose versus a lower dose.
Yeah, I take notes during every session. I'm a bit of a transcriber. I write down most of what the client says while they're on the medicine. When you're on a psycholytic dose, you can usually talk. If you're having a higher dose, there'll be a chunk of that dose where you can't talk easily. And so people don't talk a lot. And so, you know, but when they start talking, I tend to write down much of what they're saying. And sometimes we'll go right into an EFT type of session with their partner right there and be able to process pain or hurt from an attachment injury, from an infidelity, for instance. We have the ketamine as this great assist for the deeper feelings that a lot of us don't usually have access to because of how we condition our nervous systems to not feel because it's too painful to go through life. So I'll talk with the client and often the prescribers in the room in these conversations, or in a different setting, I ask the client to go back to the prescriber to have this conversation around, you know, depending on the administration route, like the troches, which are sublingual and the medicine is absorbed through your mucosa and you swish for 15 or 20 minutes. And then you decide, you know, based on the prescriber's direction, whether you spit out the saliva with the medicine in it or you swallow it. So the troches have a 25 to 40% bioavailability compared to the IV, which is like 99.99% going right into your bloodstream. And IMs also have a high bioavailability, although they're going into the muscle, so a little bit less than IVs. And then there's the nasal. I'm not talking about Spravato, which is one half of racemic ketamine. It's only one half, which is how they could get around. They, Johnson & Johnson, could make it. The FDA did approve Spravato, called S-ketamine, used by psychiatrists. But a lot of people don't find that very effective and will have a compounding cream that's used intranasally. So similar to the Spravato nasal spray, but it's actually both halves, the right and the left hand of the ketamine molecule, not just one. And then in a compounding pharmacy, put in a nasal mist that you apply on each side. So I'm part of the conversation with the prescriber and the clients, but in a very, since I'm not a prescriber, don't want that pressure and responsibility, shouldn't take that pressure and responsibility, I really defer to the prescriber and the client. And so sometimes the client will ask me what I think and I'll, you know, within reason, share my opinion if I have one. But I often just say it's just an opinion. It's a possibility. the prescriber's right there. So it's a three-way conversation. Or I say, please talk with your prescriber directly and specifically about this. And then I have a consent to talk with the prescriber. And so we'll often talk about whatever they've gotten from the client to get my input if they want it. What did I notice? How was it? How deep did they seem to be during the actual CAP session?
Hi, LoveLink listeners. Our group practice, Modern Mind, is located in New York City with offices in Brooklyn and Manhattan, offering in-person and virtual psychotherapy. We provide individual, couples, and group therapy, as well as ketamine-assisted psychotherapy in conjunction with a psychiatry prescriber. Therapy is a powerful experience that can transform your life and help you live it to its full potential. We're here to help take you where you want to go. To find out more about our practice, visit www.modernmind.co or email info@modernmind.co to be connected with one of our therapists.
So could you walk us through a CAP session, maybe one where it's an IAM session and one where a client brings in a trochee, the sublingual version of ketamine, just kind of what a couple might expect from one of these CAP sessions?
Yeah. So just to clarify, with my clients, I'm in Virginia. Virginia and ketamine feels and seems a little bit far behind, certainly California and New York, probably behind Oregon and other Colorado. So in Virginia, the prescribers that I've been able to find and collaborate with offer the infusions, the IV, or the trochees or the intranasal. The IMs that I just referenced were my personal journeys in ketamine-assisted psychotherapy training. And that's how I experienced a couple of IMs, low dose, high dose, just to see what each was like. So for me, with my clients, like if I talk about an infusion at the clinic, so obviously that's the medical model. There is a little bit of a conflicting paradigms. The medical model is usually run by anesthesiologists and CRNAs, nurse anesthetists, who can prescribe. But what's happening is they're prescribing ketamine for this off-label use for mental health. And so we're ending up having, and psychiatry is really vocal about this, because psychiatry doesn't want anesthesia dictating mental health care. And so we're having a little bit of a clash of cultures, because anesthesia can make the medicine available, especially in IV. So they're very medical minded. A lot of people like the medical setting. They feel safer. They're being monitored throughout. But most of the ketamine in medical settings is the IV goes in, the drip starts, the lights go off, the eye shades go on, and they close the door and say, buzz me if you need anything. And that's what we in mental health are trying to work away from, that model. I'm sure that's helped many, and I don't mean to sound negative about it, but it's limited in its helpfulness because that person is usually there on their own. And that's scary. And a lot of people report feeling fear, even some terrifying feelings, this unknown, wishing somebody was there with them. You know, even a professional, even having a nurse sit there would be great, but that's not the medical model. So when I go in, you know, the nurses are all there, the prescriber's there, and then I sit down and their partner sits down. Sometimes both partners are getting IVs of ketamine, sometimes just one partner, and we usually take turns. We're not rigid about partner A went and then partner B and A and B, where we really are trying to help people access the medicine based on their psychological needs, their defenses, their stuck points. Some of us need more ketamine than others, but I usually start with a little bit of an alternating pattern. Sometimes it will be a non-ketamine session, and then one partner will get ketamine, then we'll do a non-ketamine couple session, and then the other partner will get ketamine. And so if we go back to the scenario in the clinic, the partner who's getting the ketamine reclines, gets comfortable in the chair. We talk about their intention. We talk about areas where we hope to work as the ketamine infusion is winding down. Their partner is there to hold their hand or have a hand on their leg or to touch their foot if the partner's not being dosed also. And then we have a regular EFT rhythm. The clients know how I work and what to expect. And we use the ketamine.
In the anesthesiologist room. So right after the infusion, that's right. They come out of it and they're sort of feeling the impact, even though they're not in the necessarily like extreme altered state.
Yeah, I'll try to start therapy. I'll watch the drip rate of the bag and I'll watch the bag get about half empty. You know, I'm also tracking the time. I know about how many minutes based on the drip rate. Anesthesia's got it down 0.5 megs per keg, 2 kegs per pound. Like, you know, they know the math and the formula so well. And so they can tell me the drip rate that will be 42 minutes. And so I'll track the clock and the time and just see how they're doing and how, when talking takes too much energy, I don't ask my client questions. Because talking, like one time I remember saying to my husband, my lips feel like they're in the next county. Am I making sense? You know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, talking took a lot of effort. And so when it's like that, that's one of the benefits of personal experience. I know the effort of trying to talk when you're in a dissociated state. Your muscles don't contract in the characteristic ways. That's good for defenses, but it's hard for talking. And so I'll wait a few more minutes and just see how they're doing. I'll see if they can move their hands, like if they have any muscular dexterity. And so, you know, I'll just watch if they have voluntary movement with their hands or can they reach their face to scratch something. When someone's on a higher dose of ketamine, it's hard to find your face because you don't have your normal perception of how your body's moving in space. And so you just watch the nonverbals and then check in with them. I'll check in with my clients every 10, 12, 15 minutes, even if they can just grunt like, And then I'll wait a little longer and then we'll start therapy with the IV still dripping. And then these are often 2-hour sessions. The drips are about 40 or 45 minutes. Then we make the most of how active the ketamine is in their system with a traditional couple therapy, an EFT session right there in the room. We have nurses coming and going. We have vital signs being taken. sometimes the anesthesiologist will come back in just to check in after the drip. I mean, they always check in after the drip, but sometimes we're actively doing therapy. So it's really changed my comfort level. The three of us are so used to working behind closed doors with no one knocking and no one coming in. And so, it's brought in my comfort zone to keep doing therapy. I used to stop and then I'm like, not going to stop anymore. I'm going to warn my clients that the nurses will come in. If you want me to stop talking, I will for sure. But if you're okay with the process continuing, that's become my new comfort zone as I just continue the process. And the nurses, it's all confidential. They're medical professionals. You know, they don't know any details. And so, you know, sometimes I'll change my wording to protect my client's confidentiality just so the nurses don't hear a word like affair or something like that. Or I'll change what I ask if a nurse is in the room. But I'm learning to keep the therapy going and to make the most of the medicine being so active and alive in one partner or both partners. We know that medicine will be impacting the client for a couple of hours. We know that it lasts in the system 2 or 3 days. I had to decide when I was getting trained to be a ketamine assisted psychotherapist, am I going to be the kind that does integration a day or 2 or 3 later? I tried that. I did not like that. I like to be right there as active as I can be while they're on the medicine. It changed my practice. I've had to do all kinds of malpractice coverage, extra coverage for this and that. But I like doing therapy in person and on Zoom when clients are actually on the medicine. That's my preference. I'm happy to do integration. You know, clients come from all over. They need to head home from West Virginia. So I'll say, once you get home, let's Zoom at 4 o'clock. You'll be home. You can get a nap. You can get something to eat. And then we'll do integration. So they had ketamine earlier in the day. And then they get home and we do an integration session. So I'm flexible. I like to stay away from the one size fits all or the rigidity that there's one right way of doing it. It is still pretty much the Wild West with ketamine assisted psychotherapy and And lots of people are trying very different ways of being with clients who are on the medicine or have just had the medicine.
What have you noticed between the difference between having both partners on ketamine at the same time and having them do a couples therapy session versus just one being on it and the other being sober?
Yeah. Every time both of my partners at the medical clinic are getting ketamine, the nurses look at me like, are you sure you want to do this? I can't believe you just did that. And then I'll do back-to-back sessions with both partners getting ketamine at the same time. And they're like, are you okay? I think they think it's very intense, and it is more intense, but that's my jam. It is harder because it's unpredictable how each partner is going to assimilate the medicine and how their nervous systems will process it. So it can be unpredictable in terms of readiness to talk. Mm. And especially if it's somebody's like fourth, fifth, or sixth infusion, the infusions increase usually by increments in each dose. And the induction series that research has suggested a protocol for treatment-resistant depression and suicide ideation of ketamine, an induction series of six infusions with escalating amounts of ketamine in a short time period, 2.5 or 3 weeks. Not all of my clients do that protocol. Most of my clients don't have treatment-resistant depression. And so we can be a little bit more flexible about when both partners dose or only one. But when both partners dose, the unpredictability goes up. I have to have more time. It's normally a 2.5 hour process. One partner may be ready to talk and process and the other partner's not. And sometimes they have earphones with music in and sometimes they don't. So sometimes the talking bothers them. Sometimes it's okay to talk with the one partner who's ready to process and wants to say something because their partner has earphones in and we can whisper. So it's a little bit cumbersome in terms of making the most of each partner's readiness to process when the other partner isn't quite ready. And we never know who processes the ketamine quickly. In one client I'm thinking of, the female partner really slowed her drip. And so she was getting the ketamine at a much slower drip rate. And so not only did it not really accumulate as intensely in her system, but it also took a lot longer, where her partner did the regular drip rate and was in and out. One thing I love about ketamine as an adjunct intervention is it's fast, it's quick compared to other psychedelic type medicines. I love that the 45, 60 minute, you get the medicine, it's fast acting. And then, you know, you make the most of it and then you can go about your day. You don't drive right afterwards or, you know, for 4 or 6 hours, but you can go about your day. So the two partners dosing at the same time, it's a little bit more unpredictable, takes longer, can be hard to navigate readiness for talking treatment, talk therapy. What I've been doing lately with a family of 5, 3 adult children and 2 parents is we'll put their infusions back to back. And so we have always dyads or triads, and one will be getting the medicine and then the other family member will be getting the medicine next. And then we've done a third in a row and we're doing family therapy after each of those 3 infusions.
Wow. You're at the cutting edge. Family therapy.
I know, with adult children. Sure.
Amazing.
That's exciting. Yeah. Amazing. Very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This family had a big trauma about 13 or 14 years ago that they did their best back then, but they're realizing how much of it went unresolved and unrepaired. And the ketamine has just been an incredible facilitator. And that therapy has really benefited from. Yeah, so that was my way after trying with a handful of couples to have both partners dosing at the same time. It's a little bit easier if both partners are doing at-home ketamine, troches, lower bioavailability, psycholytic, not psychedelic. They can almost talk through the whole journey because the dose is so low and the bioavailability is so low. That to me is better for couple therapy and having both partners on ketamine at the same time compared to the infusions. But this way of back to back to back for the infusions was my way of trying to make it more predictable from learning with 2 partners on a higher dose IV at the same time and losing the predictability like I was just describing.
I'm curious if there's a way that you begin a session that's different from a regular session without ketamine. Like, how do you enter into a session after an infusion or if somebody's taken a troche?
Yeah, I start. So I hope I'm there at the beginning. Some CAP therapists feel like they don't need to be there at the beginning of the dose because, you know, the medicine isn't in them yet, or it takes 15 or 20 minutes to come on board, especially with the troche. But I try to be there at the beginning and I talk about intentions. I have mixed feelings about intentions. Sometimes I think they're useful to help the therapist anxiety. Give me a handle. Let me know what we're hoping for today. Unlike for me and my limited experience, but some underground experience of other psychedelics like 3 decades ago, I feel like ketamine's intentions are not usually super clear throughout the journey. And ketamine is not, doesn't create change in like a straight line. It's much more like a spider web. So for me, it can take days or sometimes even weeks for my ketamine intention to like come back around as a result of processing the journey, the dose. So, but with my ketamine clients, I'll start with their intention. I'd like them to name something, even if it's as general as coming back to myself, asking the medicine to help me go deeper into my emotions, helping me make sense of my relationship with such and such or so and so. So the intentions can be almost anything, and they're a way, as we all know, to focus the breath and to provide handles on and off throughout the session. When I was first in training for CAP, I thought I would be reminding clients of their intention throughout, or kind of offering it as a reassurance reminder. Lately, I haven't really. I write it down. I'm aware of it. Sometimes it comes back around and there's an obvious connection to it. And oftentimes there's not. And we just trust that the intention setting is a way, to, you know, set and setting are so important with all therapy, I believe, but especially with any sort of ketamine or psychedelic. And so to help the client get the mindset and to help my mindset get attuned with the client's mindset. That to me is the process of intention setting, is to help me get attuned. And as we know, attunement is like this inexact science or this art. So I try to do everything I can to get attuned. And I also try to get clarity, or often work to get clarity before the medicine starts, on pre-agreed upon subject matters to talk about while they're on the ketamine. I really feel like it's important not to surprise the client getting ketamine with a certain subject matter. I don't want them to be like, oh, whoa, you're asking me about that. Or, and so I will rule things out based on their input or wishes. We'll rule things in. I'll highlight the reason, you know, I'm suggesting ketamine is because, as you know, we've been stuck around this and that. And we really are hoping to get unstuck. And we're asking the ketamine, the process of using ketamine to help your nervous system get unstuck around, like, for instance, coming to mind is a client not believing that his partner's affair is over. And so it's like, yep, I hear her. I believe she believes herself, but I don't believe her. And I've tried so many creative EFT ways of helping, what's the block to believing and what comes up alive emotionally. And then I was like, could we try ketamine? Could we use ketamine to facilitate this most tender and difficult conversation that in EFT sessions, I haven't been able to facilitate towards resolution. We got stuck in the repair, attachment injury repair process that EFT has.
What happened?
What happened? Yeah. So they had this amazing.
So curious.
Yeah. This is a couple where they took turns with the ketamine, and she stated the truth of her experience, that she had been unfaithful, and it lasted. I don't want to go into all the details, but it lasted 9 months, and it was this and it was that. And there was no infidelity before. Her partner was certain there had been, and there's been none since. And in the ketamine session, he could believe it, and he had the emotion of relief, and he wept with, oh my God, I could let that in.
Wow.
I have the chills right now.
Yeah, so do I. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. We needed to repeat it. Mm. It's not, as we know, it's not a magic bullet, but we needed to repeat it to give his nervous system repetition with, I can trust what my body is telling me is true.
What a powerful opening.
So powerful. This kind of answer is a little bit of the question that I had, which is the best candidates for CAP therapy for couples. I mean, it really seems like the couples that are stuck on a particular issue, this example being like a beautiful example of how it just opened this person up, or the shame, frozen shame. But I'm wondering if you could expand on that. Like, how do you, when do you recommend, or when do you consider referring the couples to a ketamine provider?
Yeah, I'm getting more comfortable making that recommendation sooner, because I don't necessarily want to wait till we get stuck in EFT. Because I have so much more comfort with CAP these days, that I'm recommending it sooner as a way to help a person not have the intense labor of getting to know their defenses and trying so hard to work below and behind them. And so I'm saying, well, there's this thing called ketamine that's really, really helpful in this particular way. And it can help you come into contact with yourself with relative ease. It's a medicine. It has some psychedelic features. It's uncomfortable at times. There's a cost to it. But I think it could expedite your rebuilding your relationship with your own inner world. And that, to me, is like what I have spent so much of my previous years of EFT doing, is help people connect again with their own emotion, befriend their inner world, get to know themselves again emotionally. And ketamine is such a great facilitator of that, that sometimes, again, not everybody, and some people, like I'm near DC and a lot of clients have security clearances, and that we haven't been able to get anything clear about having a security clearance and doing off-label ketamine for mental health care. So people have been very reluctant, understandably so, to risk their security clearance. So that's a big reason some of my clients say no right off the bat. But other times when I bring it forward, I just plant a seed. There's never any pressure from me. And I just talk about how it may help. There's the reality is I don't know exactly how it may help. Each journey is actually different from the other. And so I can share a lot from training. I can share some from my personal experience. I can share some from other clients who've tried it. But I'm being braver and recommending it more quickly as I get more and more comfortable with it, because I'm feeling like, why wait? If someone's open to it, and they're open to it, and there's rationale for getting the assist with working with my own defenses, then I think to myself and out loud with them, why wait? You can wait. There's no pressure ever. But I just want you to know about this, what I call this adjunctive intervention.
And I love how you're talking about both that it's an intervention for the couple, but really also for the self. I mean, mainly for the self, right? It's so transformative for the individual.
It is, in ways that, you know, nobody can really articulate existentially, spiritually, mystically, emotionally. I mean, as an EFT therapist, I mean, I know that I'm guilty of thinking everybody would be healthier if they had a more active relationship with their own emotion. But, you know, there's no surprise that all of my EFT interventions work really well with people on ketamine, and people feel their grief that they couldn't feel. People are able to resolve traumas that had been unresolved. A recent example of a client who had a difficult holiday season, recent holiday season, but couldn't name it. And didn't know how to talk with her partner about it, who wasn't in the room, and felt kind of silly, like it wasn't supposed to be a big deal, but it had lingered for these 4 or 6 weeks after the December holidays. And in ketamine, she said, I felt as assaulted. And it's a big word. But once she heard herself say, and I wrote down assaulted, like brings water to my eyes, have the chills, like that was her missing piece. She felt assaulted. And as soon as I could reflect that for her and her partner could take that in, she felt so much less alone. So much of what she endured just resolved, maybe not completely, but like it took the edge off of like something happened to me. I don't want to make a big deal about it because it probably wasn't that big, but I feel like I'm stuck back there. That's how she described it. And that's not a big trauma, but that's something that froze her temporarily. And she was having trouble getting the resonance within herself about what was this. And the ketamine just unblocked her and allowed her to use a big word that wouldn't fit and most small minor things like she experienced, but this big word that she acknowledged is like, it sounds so weird because I wasn't raped. I wasn't assaulted in that classic way, in classic ways, but I felt so assaulted. And just letting that take up space and be held by her partner and me was like, okay, now I feel like I can actually start letting it go and start moving on. And this was from a family member that there isn't enough safety for her to go back to. There's no chance of repair. And so just to have this resolution really facilitated by the ketamine, allowing her the freedom to use words that feel too big from a cognitive perspective, or just feel like I can't quite access how I really felt in that moment. But with the ketamine's help and with our gentle, like, let yourself go back there. You remember where you were standing. Yeah, bring your body back there and tell us how you felt. So just naming that was such an important part of resolution for her and being able to unblock and she felt like, and we've processed it in the session since, and she was like, yeah, that was a game changer. I feel like I could integrate it in ways that I couldn't for those 4 or 6 weeks between the end of December and mid to late January.
Yeah. Just, it really opens up the doors of possibility, permission to feel, permission to connect. And, you know, we talked about the assist in the couples, assist in the individual, but also you sort of referenced this a little bit, assist for the therapist too. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like this mm-hmm. is why I'm excited to work with couples, but in my work with individuals, the stuck clients, whereas therapists, we can feel really frustrated. We feel like we're working so tirelessly. And my experience with ketamine so far, and I know this doesn't apply for everyone, but it just like makes the work a little easier. Like something opens up, and it's just like this whole new meat to process.
That's right. Whole new meat to process. And I used to feel like, oh, I shouldn't need the assist. I shouldn't admit to needing the assist of ketamine. And now I'm like, no, it's asking. Becoming a ketamine assisted psychotherapist has required different things of me. I've grown. I'm stretching myself. I'm learning new skills professionally and clinically. But getting the assist, like where I feel like in EFT, we all, you know, we attune so carefully and genuinely. And I feel like I have to be one quarter of a step ahead from where my clients are. And I, you know, I just had to work so hard, like microsurgery, just work so hard to get right there. But the ketamine allows me, I have to work hard in other ways being a CAP therapist. But that particular thing that I used to do and tire me out so regularly with before ketamine was just that hard work, it's not as hard anymore. And I'm grateful to ketamine for that.
So how can eager therapists like us get trained in CAP for couples?
Yeah, well, as you highlighted already, there are very few CAP for couples trainings that's starting to become more popular. Every time I've been in a training and I bring up couples, it's just an unknown, and you know that nobody really knows what to suggest. And most people are really interested in what back then and still, you know, my growing experience and what I've been learning. It's interesting because we're also worried about the individual client who comes and gets therapy, including ketamine assisted psychotherapy, and is feeling better and then goes home to an environment that doesn't help them continue to feel better, or might actually work against their continued gains. And so in a training with Phil Wolfson, he's the author of, or the editor of, the Ketamine Papers. He's a psychiatrist. He's been in the field for 30 years. And I was fortunate enough to spend a week in a training environment with him in August. And he was talking about how we all have to be really careful of the environment that our clients go home to. And I'm like, that's why we need to bring their partner in for ketamine assisted psychotherapy. Like, let's get the relationship revision going while the person is getting revision. We need to get this out there. Ketamine in couples is such a viable intervention. It's so needed. It works so well, typically, not perfectly, not a straight line, moments of intensity, lots of emotion that can scare people and can scare the clinician. But once we get our ketamine legs, our sea legs as CAP providers, it's really amazing what doors ketamine opens. And brave people, our clients are brave people who step through those doors and feel better as a result. That's what's phenomenal. They feel better.
Well, Catherine, it was so lovely talking to you. And you really, I mean, you really feel like such a pioneer in this field. It's really, really exciting. I mean, ketamine in general, I feel like has had such a, it's opened all these doors in the last year or two. And hearing about your work with couples, it's just, it's so innovative. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And thank you for those beautiful reflections. I sometimes feel like a pioneer. And I think with all pioneers, on some days you feel like, wow, this is really amazing. And other days you're like, let me rethink this. Am I doing the right thing? So the push and pull of that has been amazing for me. And I've just asked myself to be brave and to tolerate that push and pull and to slow down when needed and continue to get training. And you know, I'm so transparent with my couples, my clients, you know, so it's really about their learning and their consent. And then we see what's possible. And it's been pretty phenomenal.